Welcome to Security Guy Radio at beautiful, not so beautiful Orlando, Florida.
It's not been bad. A little bit of rain, but
a little bit of rain.
Well, okay. Yesterday you needed a bar soap and a sponge, but if you don't want mind breathing the humidity, it's been beautiful.
It was terrible. Anyway, glad to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
My name's Frank Borelli. I'm the editorial director for Officer.com, Southcom Law Enforcement Media.
Officer.com is huge, right? How long have you guys been around?
Yes, longer than I've been there, like 17 or 18 years.
Yeah, I mean, before people really had the internet, that was a thing to do.
Right, yeah. We've been around long enough that when we first started out, we had a user base of about 10,000 people.
Right.
And now we got about 1.2 million unique visitors every month.
Unique every month?
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
It's a chunk.
Now, it services to officers. Who else really is some of your viewership?
Well, support. I mean, if you're a police officer, you've got a family.
Right.
You've got a chaplain or a priest. Some of us, unfortunately, have psychologists or therapists. So we try to get content out there that serves everybody. And our website's set up almost like a virtual police department. So we have a command staff and
a tactical section,
an investigative section, and all that. But there are sections for family support, for chaplain support, for psychological support. Everything that surrounds the support of law enforcement we're trying to serve.
So we were talking off camera about what to talk about. One thing that came up was a general question. What's going on with law enforcement, right? We see this in the media. And I get a general sense that something's changed. I've been out for a while, but I still got a lot of buddies that are, you know, still in it. Now they're rank and they're, you know, they're chiefs or they're captains or something like that. And what they're telling me is we've changed our hiring standards because two reasons. A, somebody thought it was a great idea to make sure everybody had a PhD in something. And they were smarter people, therefore smarter cops, right? And B, they just can't find the same group of people. So in 82, when I was being recruited, if I ever smoked marijuana, I was out. They did not hire people that smoked marijuana.
Right.
And now I heard from somebody that, you know, when's the last time you took cocaine? If it was a year ago, we'll consider you.
Well, now they're disqualifying people who are habitual drug users. And this is actually becoming a problem. Places like Colorado, where marijuana is legalized, so you've got kids that are going, I can smoke marijuana every month, and they've done it for 3 years. And then they go apply for the police department, and the police department
says, it's legal.
This is legal, so you haven't done anything illegal, but you're a habitual drug user, so we don't want you carrying a gun.
Which
makes sense, because I don't want a habitual drug user carrying a gun.
Exactly, right.
And yeah, it's causing problems. The one that I noticed was, I'm from Maryland, so in Montgomery County, Maryland, at one point, they couldn't find enough qualified applicants that had a two-year degree that were American citizens because they have this huge immigrant, legal, but immigrant community.
Right.
So the chief there was actually looking for a waiver so he could get people here on green cards sworn as police officers so that because they had the degrees.
Everything old is new again. In the 80s, you probably came in the same time I did.
82. I graduated high school in 82, went in the Army, got out, became a cop.
All right. So when I was in 83, we got a notice that all my friends that were from Argentina, England, so on, that were here on, you know, whatever that work visa was, right?
Right.
Can't be a cop anymore. And we went, what? What are you talking about? Who's going to fly our helicopter? Tuosto had to go back to Argentina. I mean, a big stink. And I forgot what they finally did, but they allowed them to apply or do something like that. And now we've come to the other cycle where, you know, now we're losing qualified applicants.
Well, but we're talking about people who are sworn arrest power. So in Maryland, the outlook was, and they have civilian employees. So like in Maryland State Police Aviation, you can be a civilian helicopter pilot and maybe they qualify for that. But the state of Maryland decided, and I commend them for it, that they didn't want foreigners here on a work visa being able to arrest American citizens.
Oh, these aren't people. Kinda,
I'm talking about sworn on the street cops.
No, but this isn't somebody that had applied for citizenship and was just waiting. This is a different classification.
Foreigners here on a work visa or school visa or whatever.
Right.
Unacceptable. And yeah, the standards are really different. When I became a police officer fresh out of the Army, 21 years old. I had been an MP, and I'm not going to say I was the perfect kid. I had my disciplinary problems. I fought a lot in high school.
I got in fights too, yeah.
You know, when I was in elementary school, my dad was first name basis with the principal, and they came over for dinner, and but nobody doubted the fact that I would get in a fight if I needed to get in a fight. And it's funny, talking off camera, Chief Jeff Chudwin, he's now retired from Olympia Fields, Illinois, made a speech at a tactical association meeting, and he said, we're focusing on the wrong people. If you give me a guy who's a discipline problem, but who will stand up for the underdog, who'll get in the fight when he needs to, I can train that. I can work with that. The guy who's never, ever been a problem. He's never been in a conflict. He's got his two-year degree. He's got this wonderful philosophy on the ideals of life, but he can't fight a crackhead into a pair of handcuffs. That's not the guy we need on the street.
And there's no predictability in that person because you don't know how they're going to behave because they never behave that way.
And our biggest challenge, so I was at an academy an instructor at the academy for a number of years. And our biggest challenge was taking those kids that had never, ever been in a fight. And they get out on a scenario and they say, you're under arrest. And the person look at him and go, no. Wait, you don't understand. I told you you're under arrest.
Right.
And the guy look at him and go, fuck no. This just escalated.
Right.
No, you're really under arrest. What are you going to do? Put your hands on them. And we had those plastic wiffle baton things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're under arrest. Put your hands on the... Dude, slam his head on the trunk and put some handcuffs on. We can't even do that anymore. Right. Now, you know, we got to be the softer, gentler, kinder. None of that puts a violent criminal in handcuffs. I know another chief of police stood up a brand new police department, made sure every car and every police officer had a laptop and a BlackBerry at the time and a taser. Great. How many shotguns you got? None. Patrol rifles? None. They don't need those. Happened to be a high school in this jurisdiction, had a race riot every 3 years.
Right.
Prime candidate for an active shooter event. Don't need anything other than a handgun. Where's our mentality? Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just I think we're going the wrong way, but well, that's 33 years later. The world's changing, and I get that.
Well,
criminals haven't.
That's right.
That's my challenge.
And I think when I was in, there was a million-ish cops, and now there's 750,000-ish cops or something like
that.
Yeah,
I think the number's a little bit higher. I think we're actually starting to see some
coming back up. All right.
But in the last 8 years, we've seen wholesale closures of police departments.
Right.
And it's scary. There's few of us now, and it seems to be open season.
And San Jose PD, which had 1,800, has 800, and now you can't retire till you're after 40 years because they don't want to pay the pensions.
40 years?
Yeah, they don't want to pay the pensions. So the young guys come in, they work 2 years, they leave. The old timers say, well, I'm going to last a few more and get out of here. But that was just in California, that was a trick to get rid of pension costs. And now that guy who came up with that for the city is trying to put that statewide. Who wants to be a police officer? You know.
Well, but think about the liability with that. I wish I was a lawyer that could sit in front of him at some case for a disability case. Let me get this straight. You want a guy who becomes on the department at 21, and you're going to force him to be on the department until he's 61. And if he doesn't promote, he's a patrol corporal and he's 58 and he's fighting a crackhead. And even if he stays fit, he's got calcium deficiencies
happens,
and he's
right.
got slowed instincts.
Yeah.
He's got this and that. And you forced him to stay in that position to earn his pension. Isn't that, that seems like there's got to be a problem there. There's some lawyer out there that's got to make a better argument against it.
It's very strange. My worry is that the feds are going to come in and say, you guys know what you're doing. We know better. We're going to show you. And now we got Imperial Stormtroopers and one police department for the United States. And I argued, say, look, LAPD, arguably one of the best police departments in the world.
Hands down.
They're very efficient, right? So they have 9,000 cops that make more arrests than New York City with 20,000 cops. They're efficient because they have to be. Because nobody in LA ever wants to fund the police department. But if I took LAPD and stuck it in New Orleans, disaster, because the cultures don't match.
Absolutely
as
different.
A person
yes.
in LA, I get LAPD culture. They get us. It works.
Right.
I don't see how the feds can say, I'm nationalizing the police forces. We're going to have a federal mentality for police because now we got Darth Vader and stormtroopers,
well,
and it's just not going to work.
It's an extension.
But it's going that way.
It's an extension. Number one, let's never have stormtroopers on the street because they can't shoot anything. If you've ever seen a Star Wars movie,
true.
Everybody lives,
true.
Nobody dies. The stormtroopers can't shoot for crap.
That's true.
But if you look at one of the most prestigious leadership schools in this country, it's the FBI National Academy. And so if they've got this great National Academy, this great leadership protocol and ethos, if you will, and we could spread that to all the police departments in the country, wouldn't that be awesome? I think that's the thought process. But I think you're absolutely right. I was just in Louisiana. I was right after the shootings happened down there in Baton Rouge. I was there. People found out I was a policeman, and I was getting hugs and handshakes and
right.
people praying with me and all this outpouring of support. And I was like, what the hell? You know, the mainstream media says everybody hates the police here. And they're like, no, that's like a 2-square block area in Baton Rouge. Everybody loves the police here. Don't go to those 2 blocks.
Right.
Okay. And I think we're seeing that nationwide. I don't think the FBI needs to go in and tell anybody what to do anywhere. But, you know, maybe there's a regional approach to it. Maybe
I think that is the secret.
Maybe if San Jose PD needed some help, there's a county or a municipal gathering, organization, some kind of group that could do it that understands that people.
So you guys have a website, which means you're in social media.
Officer.com,
right?
yeah.
Okay. Where do the cops miss this? Why don't they own their image anymore? Why do they let the media own their image? Why don't the cops start tweeting that I just made, I rescued a cat from a tree, I did some good things, I went to a school, hey, we just had a good arrest.
So how long have you been out of the work?
I've been out a while. I've been out since 96.
So I retired once in October of 07, and now I'm the training commander for a different agency. Same chief. It's a wonderful thing. But agencies have protocols on what you can do on social media.
No, I know.
And everything you do on social media is admissible in court down the road. So there's this standard fear base of, I just did this great thing, and it gets twisted. And you know as well as I do that the mainstream media is not above taking 23 words and dropping it down to five to make you look like a bad guy. And they can edit that stuff on social media, and they can capture tweets, and they can do this and that and everything. And people are afraid of it. They figure the less anybody sees, the less exposed I am. They don't really get the fact that in today's world of the internet and social media, that they can control their own destiny a little better, if you will.
Yeah, I think.
And I think that's where you're saying.
There's just companies
they don't get it.
Geofedia that actually gathers that data and compiles it and tells you in this area that something happened. And law enforcement uses it to solve crimes, right?
Right.
And I say, listen, why don't you guys get that in your police department and use it to find out what's going on and find out where there are crimes. And they do use it. Some PDs use it to prevent stuff. But I'm thinking of the, I get all my shootings mixed up, forgive me. The one young kid that was attacked, he was kind of going down and the guy was on top of him and he shot him and killed him.
You talking about Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman down in Florida?
Zimmerman, I remember, this is a little different than Zimmerman. Let's say Zimmerman because that's a simple example. So I knew the guy that worked on the digital video of the Zimmerman case.
Right.
And Zimmerman, and by the way, Zimmerman was a dumbass, okay? Don't send me any letters, okay? But having said that,
don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel.
What he did was the police department didn't put out a picture of his face all beat up and cut up. And that poor officer that got shot and shot the riots.
Don't blame the police department. Did the police department not put that out? And we'll go why. Or did the media not put it out?
The media has no control. But they got no control
now,
because I got Twitter.
This is the big demand for everybody's got to have a body cam now, right?
Right.
And we want to see that video right now. You used to be a policeman. If it's evidence in a criminal investigation, can we release it?
I know.
No,
I
it's know. Confidential. It's I controlled. Know. So we can't put that body cam footage out there. Those pictures, what ate me up was
but wait a minute.
Trayvon Martin at 17 and 6 foot whatever and covered with tattoos and gold teeth and looking like a thug. You can write me letters and tell me you hate me all day. I don't care. But that's not what the media put out there. They put a picture out of 12-year-old innocent little Trayvon Martin and how he was the victim of this crime.
Okay, but
they
here's,
manipulated the crap out of the whole country.
That's true, but I think where the cops are missing this
is they don't fight back with real data.
And the media is not what they think it is anymore, all right? I believe that crowdsourcing and crowdsourcing median data is more appropriate and more accurate. So I'm sitting here, I forgot when it was, and the Nice shooting happens.
Okay.
And my phone goes off, and I get a YouTube video, and I'm looking at it and going, that just happened 2 minutes ago. What the hell? And I'm Googling this. It's not on Fox. It's not on CNN. It's not on ABC or CBS. The Nice shooting is live with Twitter and videos in real time, and it's taking the real media a long time to catch up. Why? NBC has Geofedia. They know those tweets are coming out.
Because
they
want
to control
agenda.
The message. That's right. They have an agenda, right?
No arguing that.
So how they're going to lose is if people start owning this crowdsourcing on media and understand that, guess what, NBC? Yes, this is a crime, and yes, there's a component that's evidence. On the other hand, this happened on a public street, and I'm going to put out that part about what really happened, and I'm going to own the image of this poor officer who had his face beat in before you get a hold of him and say he's an evil a Nazi and killed people.
So maybe
they
what we really need is a change in two things. I'm going to say we need a change in the officers that are afraid of video because we always try to control it. We always try to suppress it or hide from it. I'm as guilty as the next guy. Somebody walking around with a camera and I'll hide behind you so they don't see me.
Yeah.
Number one, we got to quit being afraid of the camera. We got to take ownership and we got to be confident enough that we're doing the right thing that we don't care who's watching. And second is maybe our support structure, that industry that's behind us, everybody from the public that likes us to our families to the ATM cameras to the hotel cameras. There's cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
Maybe, just maybe, we need to have faith in the fact that all those people are going to stand up and say, God bless you, police officer. You did the right thing. And when the mainstream media puts out this crap, we're going to flood social media with the real deal.
Yeah, and I think we can do
it. That's not happening. It hasn't been a focus on that effort. We absolutely need to do
that. Now, here's another thing I have a pet peeve on.
Uh-oh, another pet peeve.
I'm so glad. I love talking
to
cops on the show. No, I haven't come up with one yet, but
okay.
I probably will be arrested for trying to overthrow the government. I think.
It's been nice talking to you, man.
Here's what I don't get. Why aren't, when I was a cop, let's just say I was.
Proactive.
little bit of a troublemaker, right? No. I started a POA that had never been started before. They didn't think I could do it. They got mad about it. I got the whole police department fired, upper management, for a bunch of corruption and stuff like that. So I get all this pressure. But I'm like this.
I met him first time today.
That's true.
Never met the guy. Okay.
Here's my Irish philosophy. This is for you. Oh. And this is for the horse you rode it on. Okay?
My What's Irish Uncle Jack used to tell me that. Damn, he never did anything to you.
I don't really care if what I feel is right and ethical and moral, and I'm not trying to put something on you. I'm trying to live my own life and be independent. I don't really give a flying crap what you think is right or wrong, because if you're wrong, I'm going to say, sorry, that's wrong. So when the chief was embezzling money, taking stuff for acid seizure cars and stuff, I said, hey, pal.
Got a problem with that. Right.
I said to this guy, they were putting bullets in my mailbox with my name on it. Remember beepers? They were paging me with 187, which is the California Penal Code for homicide. They drove by my house and shot at my house. And I went to the chief's office one day and got all the commanders together and the lieutenants. And I said, okay, boys, here's the deal. Everybody likes me. Bad guys like me. Good guys like me. If I fall off my bicycle and scrape my elbow and look suspicious, you motherfuckers are not going to wake up. That's just the way it's going to be. Am I making myself clear? Because I'm tired of getting fucked with.
Right.
And he looks at me and he says, understood. And then all that stopped. Right. So then what happens, I got in a fight and I cracked a vertebrae and they put me on leave and they worker comped me out the door. And make a long story short, it took a long time, but I retired. All right.
Okay.
I told that chief, I said, if you keep effing around with me, pal, I'm just going to arrest you. And we'll see how that goes in court. Because guess what? In the California Penal Code, you have no more authority to do anything than I do. None. You can paper me administratively.
Right.
But you cannot order me to unarrest somebody. You cannot order me to arrest somebody.
Exactly. Right.
And I think that's probably the same across all police departments, more or less. It has to be.
Everyone right? I've ever been exposed to, yes.
Okay. Here's what I don't know. Why don't all you guys get off your ass and stop being afraid of everybody and own law enforcement and tell everybody, hey, Mr. Senator, who we just caught selling guns in California. You hear about that guy?
Yeah.
You're under arrest, pal. Oh, no, we're going to handle that administratively through the court. Nope. I got a probable cause arrest right here. I got all the data. I'm putting your ass in jail. And I'm putting all you corrupt government officials in jail and all you dumbasses in jail and start owning this stuff and taking this stuff back from people. All I see all day
so
are people violating crimes all the time.
Here's your only challenge. And if it's a police department, I'm with you 110%. Rock and roll. But over 50% of law enforcement in this country is elected sheriffs. And I'd rather work for a sheriff every day of the week than
much?
A police chief.
Okay.
Over half of them.
All right.
And over half of our agencies in this country are less than 25 officers.
That's true.
They're small. Okay. So who can charge a sheriff with a crime? If he's a corrupt sheriff, it doesn't matter. Who can charge a sheriff with a crime?
That's very difficult.
The state's attorney general, I don't know anywhere else, Maryland, yeah. State attorney general, and the medical examiner. Only two people. And I love my sheriff, home in Calvert County. He's a great guy. The next one over, my sheriff, the next county over was my sniper instructor in sniper school. He's an awesome guy. I don't know the other one.
Right.
He's doing a good job. But sheriffs are untouchable. That's not criticism. That's just how it is. If the guys on the street want to take ownership to police departments, then you have a political problem because police chiefs are appointed. And if they don't do what the county execs and the city execs
right,
and the state...
It's not civil service anymore, is it? Nowhere.
No,
it used to be.
You don't make them happy, you don't toe the line, you're out.
Yeah, they got to take that back to the civil service.
Why do you think when you go to... Yeah, I'm complaining about IACP. Why do you think when you go to IACP, you see so many people standing up behind somebody making a statement for gun control when most cops don't like gun control? Well, but all these chiefs like gun control?
Right.
No. All those mayors like gun control. Those chiefs were told to stand there and look good. It's a different world. We've got to take ownership of the political system, and we have the power to do it. We have the votes to do it. We got to get on the same page and do it.
Yeah. I think if we don't, it's going to tip to the point where police officers are the Imperial Guard, and they're just following directions of politics. I mean, it's
not in my lifetime. I'll never be
eroding.
An Imperial Guard. You'll never be an Imperial Guard. You know, there comes a point where you got to say, you know, like you're talking about what you like and what you don't like and what's right and what's wrong and where you'll stand your ground. There's a line that won't be crossed for me. There's things I won't do.
But a younger cop, is it a profession and a calling to them as much as it's just another job nowadays? I don't know. I hear this all the time.
If they've got the right mentoring, and I'm not going to say instruction because teachers and mentors are two different things. If they've got the right mentoring, if they've got the right upbringing, their heart's in the right place. The next generation's not all a bunch of schmucks. Their heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
If it's made, it has to be presented to them as a valuable thing. And, you know, we got a society that focuses on money. I got four kids, and they're all four wonderful kids. I brag about them for the next hour if you let me. None of them is driven by dollars, and they've all proven that they've got good hearts. Not every kid's like that. Not every kid's had the family blessings that my kids have had, and mom and dad, and blah, blah, blah. We see this all the time, broken homes and welfare families and crackhead moms and kids being raised by grandparents and all that crap. It's not lost. It can be salvaged if society will let us. Yeah, we play a big role. Did I just get way too philosophical with this stuff?
No. But well, I mean, I was tearing up a little bit, but I think we can fix that in post.
Can I throw out another ugly name? Contemporary hot topic?
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick can fall down dead on a field and somebody jump on him, and I don't care.
Right.
Does he have a right not to stand up for the flag? Yeah, he does. I fought for that right. I wore uniform to protect that right. I don't have to like his message. I have to protect his right to give that message. I think he's an unappreciative bastard, and that somebody ought to say, sorry, if you think $19 million a year is oppressive, go live someplace else for nothing.
Right.
I wish to God he'd get on the field against J.J. Watt so he could get snapped in half, because there's a guy who gets it. But if that's what our children are being told to look up to, we have a bigger societal problem than whether or not people like cops.
Yeah,
the hero message is lost. It's up to us to claim it back.
Frank, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Fascinating. Give us your website one more time.
Officer.com.
Officer.com. Been around a long time. Check it out.
Long time.
You can Skype and do an hour show. We could talk for hours on this, you know.
Oh, dude, we could have a good time. An hour? I'll come stay for a week. Let's do a lot of shows.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, man.
Beautiful.
That's how we roll.